All right, we're going to start at the Mishnah on Chavav and Aleph. So the Mishnah states, HaKotev Topse Gitin. This seems to be a sofer who's filling out, like, you know, form Gitin, where he'll have a whole bunch of them ready to go. So Tzorech Shianiach, when he writes out these form Gitin, he has to leave out Makom HaIsh or Makom HaIsha, the place for the man's name, the woman's name, or Makom HaZman, and the date. So now, Shtari Milveh. So if he's going to do these form contracts for loans, the place for the creditor and the place for the debtor's name, and the amount of money, and again, the tarikh, the date of when the transaction took place. If we're dealing with contracts that deal with transactions, right? So then if he does these form contracts, he has to leave out the buyer, Makoma Mocher, the seller, Makoma Ma'ot, the price, Makoma Sadeh, and then the location of what that which you're buying, Makoma Zman, and again the Tarikh, the date. Mipnei HaTakana. Now all of this is because of the Takana. That'll be a discussion in the Gemara. We'll have three opinions in the Gemara what the Takana was. Rabbi Yehuda Posel B'Kulan. Rabbi Yehuda is Posel in all of these instances and says that they're no good when you write the contracts as such. Rabbi Lazar Machshir B'Kulan. Rabbi Lazar says they're all good. Chutz migitei nashim, except for the get of a woman. Shnemar v'katav la lishma, because the get must be done lishma. So Rashi over here says when Rabbi Elazar says that he's machshir b'kulan and all these other contracts besides gitei nashim, Rashi says that if he leaves out makamot halalu, as long as he leaves out these special pieces that are the names of the either the malve, the love, the mocher, and the lokeach, then Rabbi Elazar is going to say that's fine with contracts, but with a gitin, it's not the case. Tosus disagrees with Rashi, and we'll see. By the time we get to the end of the daf today, we'll see where Tosus' proof comes from. But Tosus over here says that Rabbi Elazar's machshir b'shtarot, by other contracts, he's machshir even if you don't leave out those spaces. Even if he writes in the buyer, the seller, and all that, that is fine, according to Rabbi Elazar. And by gitin noshim, he's posel even if you leave out the name of the man, the name of the woman, and the tarikh. So it would be an extreme. Rabbi Elazar would be machshir and shtaros legamrei, and gitei nashim would be posel legamrei, according to Tosfos. And we'll see in the Gemara later on, I'll point it out to you when we get into the Gemara, where Tosfos' proof comes from. So now we have a statement for Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Right? Tzarich shianiach af makom harayat muteret lechol adam. You also have to leave out the space. Not only do you have to leave out the name of the man, the woman, and the tarikh, the date, but you also have to leave out the main part of the get, which is what? Hariat muteret l'chol adam. Because that's the ikar kritut, since that's the main part of the severing of the ties between the man and the woman. That must also be done, the cut of law, sefer kritut, right? So that must be done lishma also. So that sefer kritut must be left out till later on, just like you leave out the name of the man, the name of the woman, and the tarikh. Then, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel also adds in an additional piece, v'rav Elazar hi. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, he damar Eide Mesira Karte, that believes that Eide Mesira Karte, ubi'ina k'tiva lishma. And the requirement, according to Rabbi Elazar, when it says v'katav la, Rabbi Meir believes that goes on the chatimata Eidim, but when it comes to Rabbi Elazar, he says v'katav la, because you don't need chatimata any, the Eide Mesira Karte, the katav la means lishma, that you must write to get itself lishma, and that's the issue in our Mishnah, and he's the author of our Mishnah. The Tanakhama is Rabbi Elazar. And that's why we're worried about filling in these items, because it's Rabbi Elazar who requires lishma in these instances. Now, we'll get back to this in a second. The Gemara is going to discuss. We've seen this, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, three times. There are three Mishnayos in Kitin so far, where Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said the same thing. And we'll come back to it in a second. What I do want to point out quickly is there's a Tosus, an interesting Tosus over here. If you look down in the wide lines in Tosus, the second Tosus in the wide lines, it says, V'tzarich shianiach makom hariat muter l'chol adam. So Tosus says, "B'chol duchte mashma shekotvin lashon zeh beget." Sounds like from throughout Gitin, wherever we see this comes up in numerous places, that's part of the major part of the get is hariat muteret l'chol adam. That's the ikar lashon get. Says the Perek Batra, "Nami tanya gufu shel get hariat muteret l'chol adam." V'hinhig Rabbeinu Tam. Because of this, Rabbeinu Tam was manhig the people lichtov lashon zeh beget. That people made sure that people wrote this lashon in the get. Aval betose gitin loya katuv, right? But in the form contract of gitin, that was not written. Umikom akom. Listen to this amazing line in Tosus. Ein lo tzilaz agitim arishonim. We don't want to be motzi laz on the original gittin that don't have this in it. So it seems to me like the Rabbeinu Tam was mechadesh something that all of a sudden they start to write Hareyat Mutar L'chol Adam in the gittin. But until that point, they found many gittin that did not have Hareyat Mutar L'chol Adam in it. It says, but don't be motzi laz on those gittin. They're still kosher gittin. Shei marichin l'chtov kama l'shonot beget. Because our gets are verbose and they have many like languages or lishonot that match or imply the same thing as the chashiv k'mariyat mutar l'chol adam, that imply the same idea of hariyat mutar l'chol adam. So it's interesting. The Rabbeinu Tam says you got to write hariyat mutar l'chol adam just like the Gemara says here, but don't. All right, there were gittin before our time that didn't have it in it, but we're not going to be motzi laz on those gittin because they effectively did the same thing as a hariyat mutar l'chol adam. Just a interesting historical note about the Rabbeinu Tam and about gittin. All right, so now we go back to the Gemara. We've had in three places that we've had this Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So we had it once before in the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. On Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, the Mishnah says, "Ein kotvim mechuber lekarka." You're not allowed to write mechuber lekarka. And then it says, "Vim katvo." If you do write it, then as long as you sever it afterwards in Chatimat Eidim, it's good. So over there, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel set up that Mishnah like Rabbi Lazar. And Daf Chafalim and Reis, they set up that mission like Rabbi Lazar, and they said, "Vehush yaniach makom atorif." As long as you leave out the main sections, ish v'isha and zman, right? If those are left out, then that's okay, and then you can write that after it's detached. You shouldn't do it while it's attached, but if you did and you left those spaces, you can do it afterwards. Then, when the next mishnah, which is a kol kotvin gitin, a kol ksherim l'ktov gitin, that's the mishnah on Chaf Beis and Marat Beis. There we said everybody is kosher to write gitim, even a chereshot v'katan. Over there, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel also set the Mishnah up like Rabbi Elazar. And they said again, "Vahu shashir makom atorif." Again, they said that that is according to Rabbi Elazar, and it's they left out. The Chereshot HaKadon wrote basically the form of the Gittin, but left out the major aspects of Ish, Isha, and the date. So now the Gemara wants to know, we have these three times Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel sets up the Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar. So Gemara wants to know, why do you have to tell us every time that this all these Mishnayos are Rabbi Elazar, right? Eidim Asira Karte. So Gemara says, "Ubeinan k'tivah v'tzricha." We need all these cases. De'i yashminan hach kamaito. Had it just told us what's the hach kamaito is the first case by mechubar b'ahi de'i kol ukma k'rabbi Elazar. There they set it up like Rabbi Elazar. Why? D'ktani ain kotvin v'ktani katvo. So it sounds like the Mishnah has two as it says ain kotvin mechubar. You're not allowed to write mechubar. And then it says, well, if you did write it b'mechubar, it's kosher. So in order to solve that stira in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel come along and say, that's Rabbi Elazar, he, and says, that's Yehu Shir Makom HaTorif. So that was a solution to a stira in the Mishnah. Aval Seifa, in the next case, the next Mishnah, which is in Chaf Beis, Diktani She'en Kiyom HaGet Elo B'chut Mav, over there, where it says, what, that HaKol K'sherim L'chtov HaGet Afilu Sh'cherishot V'katon, over there they set it up, Rabbi Elazar, what's the Chiddush there? The Chiddush there is that even though the conclusion of that Mishnah, the last line of that Mishnah is, that the Kiyum HaGet is Bechot Mav with its signatories. That's what makes the Get a valid Get. Who's that like? That sounds exactly like Rabbi Meir. So despite the fact that that Mishnah sounds exactly like Rabbi Meir, right, so Eimer Rabbi Meir here, Damei De Chatim HaKarte, right, so therefore Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel comes along to tell us, no, despite that fact, it's still Rabbi Elazar is the author of that Mishnah. And how are you going to explain Chot Mav? So Rashi explained it there on the Mishnah, and he says it again here. Is that that part of Chot Mav goes on the Mitziyata, on the middle section, which is when the woman writes her own get. And there we say that if the Chot Mav are because, even Rabbi Elazar agrees that people sign the get for Tikkun Olam. And Rashi says, generally, the ones who sign the get are also the Eidei Mesira. So when it says Chot Mav, it doesn't mean literally the signatories make it valid, but the signatories who are the Eidei Mesira are the ones who make it valid. V'yim Ashminim Bahayi. Had the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel only told us in those two instances that it's Rabbi Elazar, the case of Mechubar, or the case of Akol Kshirim Lichtov Ged, over there we set all those up like Rabbi Elazar. Aval ha, our Mishnah, we would thought not, right? Not to set up like Rabbi Elazar. Why? Aimim to say for Rabbi Elazar, because we have Rabbi Elazar who speaks explicitly in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar machshir b'kulan chutz migitei noshim. The fact that Rabbi Elazar is mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah sounds like the Tanakhama is not Rabbi Elazar. So havi reisha lav Rabbi Elazar, made a sefer Rabbi Elazar havi reisha lav Rabbi Elazar. So since the sefer is Rabbi Elazar, implies that the reisha is not Rabbi Elazar. Tzrichos, that's what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel comes on and tells us that even the Tanakhama is Rabbi Elazar. Now you can ask me, well, if the Tanakhama is Rabbi Elazar, then you have the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar. They don't agree. that the Gemara is going to explain in the top of the next Talmud that it's Trey Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Lazar. They're having an argument about what the position of Rabbi Lazar is, but nevertheless, so that's the Trichuta here that Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel mentioned all three of these Mishnayot that Rabbi Lazar is the author of the Mishnah, that Ede Mesira Karte. Right now, the Mishnah said, why does the Tanakhama say you must leave out the name of the woman, the name of the man, the date? So what is this takana? My takana. That's what the Gemara wants to know. So I'm Rabbi Yonatan, mipnei takanat sofer. This is because of the sofer, to help out the sofer. Why is that? Rabbi Lazar he, the Amar, Ede Mesira Karte. That he, it's according to Rabbi Lazar, who says Ede Mesira Karte, and therefore we needed Ketiva Lishma, but we wanted to help out the sofer. What does it mean that we want to help out the, what's takanat sofer? Because we allow him to write the tofes, which is the non-essential part. We let him write it lolishma, right? Because we want him to have starot that are ready. We're going to see this in a second. Uvedinhu, tafilu tofes nami lolichtov. Truthfully, he shouldn't even write the non-essential parts because we're afraid if you write the non-essential parts, he'll also come to write the essential parts. Umishum takanat sofrim shoru banan. Because of this takanat sofrim, the rabbanon were matir him to write the tofes. So then, when Rabbi Yehuda posel b'kulan, Rabbi Yehuda says they're posel on all of these, even if you leave out the essential parts, even if you just write the non-essential parts. Why? Because our tofes atu toref. He was goes there the non-essential parts because if you write the non-essential parts, he might come to write the essential parts as well. Gazer shtarot atu gitin, and then he was goes there by shtaros by then over to gitin. So that's a question on the Mishnah, meaning that we understand in the Mishnah why by gitin he left out the name of the man, the name of the woman. And the tarich, why? Because there's a requirement of lishma, right, by gitin. But by other contracts, there's no requirement of lishma. So why not write the name of the lova and the malva? Why can't you write those ahead of time? So that's what Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says that the reason I say that you can't do it by a get, because if you do the non-essential parts by the get, you're going to come to do the essential parts, and that's a problem with lishma by gitin. And I'm going to say the same by shtarot, because if I allow it by shtarot, you're going to come to do it by gitin. So that's the gzeira of Rabbi Yehuda. And then Rabbi Lazar comes along, the second Rabbi Lazar comes along, machshir bekulan chutz migitin oshim. He's machshir in all other shtarot. By other shtarot, right, there is no problem of lishma. Therefore, we allow you to write the non-essential parts early. Because even if he comes by mistake and writes the essential parts, it's not a problem because it's not lishma. Right? But tofes atu toref. Right? But chutz migitei nashim, tofes atu toref. Right? So there, by the gitei nashim, he says, don't write the non-essential parts because you might come to write the essential parts. If you write the essential parts, that'll be a violation of lishma. And what about gazer shtarot atu gitin lo gazer? Right? Yeah. Tofes atu toref gazar by gitei nashim. Thank you. Shtarot atu gitin lo gazer. By shtarot atu gitin, he's not goes there in that instance. So, because he says that gzera, and I don't need it over there. So here, this was the takanata sofrim, so that they would have shtarot available, meaning that they would have these form contracts that were available, so that he could have gitin ready or contracts ready, so that he could help people out and get them done quickly. So they allowed him to do it. So this is a machlokas in the Mishnah. How much do we allow him to do? How many of these form contracts do we allow? The Tanakhama says you could do form contracts for everything. It's Rabbi Lazar who says in Yiktiva Lishma, says you can do form contracts, everything, you just have to leave out the toref. You have to leave out the makmatarif, all the essential items, whether it's a get or a shtar. Then comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says you can't write anything. None of these documents can be written. By get, we don't let you write it because you might come to write the essential parts. By other shtaros, we don't let you do it because if you do it by shtarot, you might come to do it by gitin. Then comes along Rabbi Lazar and says, no, you know what? We're going to divide. Gitin, you can't write the form because you might come to write the essential part, and that would be a violation of lishma. By shtaros, you can write the non-essential part because even if you wrote the essential part, it wouldn't be a violation of lishma, and we're not gozer shtarot unto gitin. And again, that's according to Rashi. I just explained it. Tosus, again, we mentioned on the Mishnah, says by the Tanakhama believes by other shtarot, you don't even have to leave anything out. You can write the entire shtar, even the essential parts prior, and we'll see that later in the Gemara. Now, I assume he's going to say that it's a gzera, right, chad gzera hi, that it's all, in all documents, in all shtarot, we have a general principle, you don't write tosu atu toref. I assume he would answer that question. Right now, v'shenem ar v'kot of law. So now it says the reasoning for Rabbi Lazar is because it says v'kot of law. What do you mean that's the reason? Katav law tells you you have to write the Torif Lishma. Over here, Rabbi Elazar is telling me I can't write the Tofes, the non-essential part of the get I can't write. That's because it says Katav law? No, I can't write the Torah because it says Katav law. So what does that make? It doesn't make sense. So where it says, V'ha-ki-ki-tiv law atorifu. When it says you must write this Lishma, it's referring to the essential parts of the get. Dichtiv. Ella, Ema. So you have to amend the Mishnah, right? Mishum shenemar v'katav law Lishma. Because it says v'katav law Lishma, which means that by the Torah, if I require Lishma, therefore I will not let you write the Tofes. Not that's why the explanation of why you can't write the Tofes. It's the explanation of why you can't write the Torah. And because you can't write the Torah, that's the explanation of why you can't write the Tofes, the non-essential parts, because of the essential parts. So now, Gemara says, Kasho, the Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Elazar. So this is the question we posed before. Now, if the Tanakhama is Rabbi Elazar, and we have Rabbi Elazar who explicitly says something in the Mishnah, you have a steer in Rabbi Elazar. So that the Gemara says, Trey Tanai, Aliba, the Rabbi Elazar. This is two Tanoim that go according to Rabbi Elazar. So that's the first answer of what this Mishum Takana is. Mishum Takana is Takana Tasofrim, right? The ability of the Sofrim to have contracts and Gitin available. And that was why we say Mipnei Takana explains the positions in the Mishnah. Now we're up to the second explanation of what Mipnei Takana is. This is an interesting explanation. Mishum Kitata, because of quarreling. We're worried about quarreling. V'Rabbi Meir, he. And Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah. D'amar Edi Chati Makarte. So the truth is, Ubedinhu, the truth is, if Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah, there's no requirement of Lishma in writing the Gittin. So Ubedinhu, that Filu Torif Lichtov, that even, if Rabbi Meir is the Tanakhama, you could even write in the essential parts, because the only thing that Rabbi Meir requires Lishma is the Chatima Ta'edin, Edim. So you could have even written the name of the woman, the name of the man, and been fine. V'Zimnan, so listen to what happens here. Zimnan, this Shamalei L'Sofer, right? The Kaktiv. That maybe the woman will hear that the sofer wrote the get already with her name in it. And she will think that the husband told the sofer to do this. And that will cause, right, some sort of, right, fighting between them. That will cause some sort of quarrel because the woman will say, I see you got the get written already. So what's going on? And that will cause problems. So we don't allow the sofer to go in and preempt putting in the names because of Ketata. And that was the Mipnei HaTakana. So this, if you just look in Rashi, he says, Rabbi Meir he. So listen, this is Rabbi Meir. Delo ba'iktiva lishma. It's the last wide line in Rashi on the top there. Delo ba'iktiva lishma. Rabbi Meir doesn't require iktiva lishma. Delo tzariach shaniach makom hariat muteret. So according to Rabbi Meir, you don't have to leave out the space hariat muteret l'chol adam, because that's part of the lishma, and that's not going to cause any quarrels. Ella, what do you have to leave out? Mekom hashemot levadan mishum ktata. You only have to leave out of the names, the man's name and the woman's name, in order that you don't cause quarrels. And there's an additional item, mekom atzman mishum mukdam. There's a tarich, the date. Even Rabbi Meir agrees you can't put the date in, because otherwise you'll end up with a shtar mukdam. So this has nothing to do with the takana. You have to leave the date out so you just don't end up with a shtar mukdam. But Rabbi Meir's gzeira addresses the problem of writing the man's name and the woman's name, but he would let you write Hariat Muteret L'chol Adam. All right, so that's the second possibility of what Mipnei HaTakana is because we worry that the sofer will hear. The Rashi mentions that the sofer will hear them fighting, and he'll say, you know what, let me get to get ready. Because he hears them, he already hears them arguing. He says, let me get the get ready for them just in case. Right? So he's got it all ready. And then the woman finds out that it is, and forget that. Now he sealed the deal. That the fight is going to be the last fight they have. So that's the Mishum Kitota. All right, so now, the last explanation of what Mipnei HaTakana is Rav Chista Amar Avimai Mishum Takana Tagunot. The problem is Mishum Takana Tagunot. Imri Yilah Rabbi Meir, Imri Yilah Rabbi Elazar. Some people say that you could. Some say that you could fit this in according to Rabbi Meir, and some say according to Rabbi Elazar. Imri law, Rabbi Meir. Some say that it's Rabbi Meir would be the Tanakam of the Mishnah. It's Takana to Agunot. What's the problem? The Amar Ede Chatima Karte. What does Rabbi Meir believe that Ede Chatima Karte? Ubedinu Dafilu Toref Nami Lichtov. According to him, you could even write the Toref. You could write everything according to Rabbi Meir because you don't require Lishma. Bezimin Davale Katata Bahada. Sometimes he'll have a fight with her, right? Viratachala, and he'll be angry at her. Vizarik le niala, he'll grab the get because it'll be all ready to go, and he'll toss it at her. Uma agen umotivla, she'll be left in aguna, and Motiv Lahi will just leave her alone. So now Rashi explains, what does it mean over here that is Ma'agenu Motiv Lahi, that she'll be left in Aguna and she'll be left by herself? Rashi says, Kishihi Migureshet, when she is divorced. So this is an unbelievable usage of the term Aguna. In general, Aguna means, right, an anchor. It means that the woman is still attached to the man. There's a Tosfos later on in Lamed Gimel who says that even Bedin, even if it's halachic correct that the woman must be there, she could still be called an Aguna if she can't get out of a marriage. Meaning that that's what an Aguna is. Here Rashi says she's divorced, and yet she's still called an Aguna. She's called Aguna because he leaves her alone. He just drops her, and she's all alone. That's called an Aguna according to Rashi, which is a strange, very, very strange usage of the term Aguna. So it's bothering me. What I was thinking, and I said, the Zimni Davalei Ktata, Vadavar Tachalav Zorik Le. Right, he'll throw the get to her. And then the problem will be, wait, when you throw a get to a woman, right, there's a problem of Sufek Karov, loss of a Karov Lo, right, that the Chamin were attacking that Dalet Amos Shel Adam is Kone for them, and right, and there's a Sufek, if it landed within the Dalet Amos, outside the Dalet Amos, Samek Karov Lo, Karov La, so you'll end up with a case where you'll throw the get at her, and then there'll be a Sufek whether the get took effect. In that case, she really will be a Gunah, because there's a Sufek if the get is effective, and then she's left where the guy's gone, and she can't get another get from him, and she can't remarry because there's a Sufek of get. Later afterwards, I found the Rashba says that. So I was mechavin to the Rashba. The Rashba says exactly that. He says, I don't know where Rashi got this from. I said, we never see the Lashon of Aguna used in this way. And he says, V'chi meshkach get mezuman zarek la brituchei, v'azil le upamim da'agein emotiv le shehei safek karov lo, safek karov la. It'll be a safek whether it's closer to him or closer to her. V'me'agna, right, v'da'i, and then she'll be left as an Aguna. So that's the case here. The Rashba says what the case of Aguna is here. So that's mitzvei takanat agunot. They don't want the sofer, even though the sofer technically could have rent the essentials of the get and the non-essentials. We leave out the essentials so the guy can't divorce her so fast. Right? We want to, yeah. It's possibly, but well, that's Tzvi's. That's what Tzvi was suggesting. That the suffix here is that he's throwing the get at her, and the get, it's suffix whether that he's throwing at her to intend to divorce or intend to, you just throw something. So now the other possibility in the Gemara is that, mitei takanat agunot, and it's Imri la, Rabbi Lozer, that Amar Edim Sirikarate, it's according to Rabbi Lozer, says Edim Sirikarate, bidinu da filu tofes nami lo lichtov. Truth is that they shouldn't be able to write the tofes, even the form part of it, the non-essential part shouldn't have been written. The zimnin de boy la meza la medina tayam. Problem is that sometimes the husband will be leaving to go abroad. Lo ashkach safra, right, v'shavik la. He won't find a sofer in time to write the whole get out. And he'll leave her. Va'azil ma'agein emotiv la. She'll be left an aguna, right? And she'll be left, even though bedin she's an aguna here because she's fully married. He didn't intend to divorce her. But she's an aguna. That's what Tosfos says later on in Lamed Gimel. The Mesorah Shas is pointing that out. But over here, she's an aguna. So in the instance that the sofer already has the form filled out, then all you have to fill out is the shemish or shemish. Then he'll be able to give her a get in that instance and untie her, right? Not have her be an aguna when he goes to Medina Tayam for long periods of time, and she won't know her status or be unable to clarify her status. All right, so those are the three, again, three possibilities of what Mipnei HaTakana is. The first Mipnei HaTakana is Mipnei Katana HaSofrim. That's according to Rabbi Lazar. The second possibility was Mipnei Ktata, because of, right, of quarreling, and that was according to Rabbi Meir. And the last one is Mipnei Agunot, and we explained that both according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Lazar. And all of these will explain the position of the Tanakama, what it means, Mipnei HaTakana. The Gemara says you have to leave out Mekoma Zman. You have to leave out the tarikh, the date. Now, kaposik v'toni, the Mishnah does not differentiate between whether this man is divorcing her meirusin or from nisuin. Loshna mina nisuin, loshna mina erusin. In all these instances, he still has to leave the dates, right, unwritten, even if he's divorcing her from erusin, even if he's divorcing her from nisuin. So, bishlama mina sunuin, if you're talking about mina nisuin, when we're talking about when he's fully married to her and he wants to get divorced, that we know why he has to leave out the date. Ben Lamandar Mishum Batachoto, whether it's according to one who says the reason we date the get is so he can't cover up for his niece who had an extramarital affair. Ego, Ben Lamandar Mishum Peire Ike, or because of the one who wants to know when the husband loses rights, right, to the Peire and the Lakuchos can come and take them, right, that's also a reason to date it from the Suin. Ella, Mina Erusin, when you're talking about Erusin, he's getting divorced from Erusin, why does he need a date on the get? Bishlam Anan the Mershum Batachoto Ika. Right, according to one it says it's his niece. Right, now we understand because he could still be covering up for his niece. Alamanda Amar Mishum Pere, the one who says it's because of Perot, Arusa Mitla Pere. Arusa, right, you don't get Perot, they're not available, right, to the husband until after Nisuin. Because it's only once the Tnai Ketubah kick in for Pirkona, that only happens at the time of Nisuin. So then it's not relevant anymore. Dating is not relevant when it comes to an Arusa or a get of an Arusa, according to the one who says the whole point of dating is Mishum Pere. So why does our Mishnah not differentiate between Nisuin and Arusin? So Amar of Amram, how milta shmait minei de Ula? I heard this from Ula. The Amar Mishum Takanat Vlad. He says the reason in our Mishnah requires a date is because of Takanat HaVlad. V'lo yadana mainihu, and I didn't know what it meant. Came in the Shemitah Laha, the Tanya. After I heard this Brisa, I understood what he meant. HaOmer kitvu get arusati, right? That you should write a get to my arusa. L'sheke echnesena egershena. Because after I marry her, I'm going to divorce her. He says, write a get. He's an arusa. She's an arusa now. Write a get to my arusa. Because after I marry her, I'm going to give her this get and divorce her right afterwards. Ain't no get. It's not a valid get. Va'amar ula matam. Why is it not a valid get? Gzeira shem yomru gita kodem livna. Because you have a problem that people might come to think now that the get, right, preceded her child. Because if he does marry her, meaning that if he does marry her, then he has bia, there's a possibility that the woman will come impregnated and have a child. The get is dated back to the time when she was in Arusa. Now you have the get, they take out the get. The get's date is before the birth of the child. If that's the case, people are going to say, what? Rashi says, "Ubkam hi l'mishpacha." There's going to be hotzi laz, and it'll be a bekam on the mishpacha that the divorce happened, and the baby was born out of wedlock, was born after the time of the date on the get. So hachanami. So over here in our case too, gzeira shemi yomru gita kodem livna. So over here we're going to say maybe the get came before her child. The only problem is that over here he's giving her a get as an arusa, and he's not intending to marry her at all. So where do we have the problem of her having a child? So Rashi explains over here that also hachanami means that maybe he will also marry her, meaning that he will give her, the sofa will write a get that when she's in Arusa, and then he won't divorce her, he'll hold on to the get, then he will only divorce her after they get married. So again, you have the same problem of Shema, right, Bina, right, is Achar Gita, or Shema Gita Kodem Livna, that the get came prior to the Ben, and when it's dated prior to the Ben, right, then you have a problem of Pgam Mishpacha, that this child was born after the get was given, or get says it was given. So let's ask your question a little bit. Well, why would the Edom ever sign on such a get? I mean, Edom know that she's, you know, they say, all right, listen, she's an Arusa, and why would the Edom ever come and sign on a get where he says, when I get married, they'll know it's a get, they'll know it's a get kadum. Why would they sign on it? So he says that, says since in the get it says Arusati, they will sign after Nisuim because they will think she's still an Arusa. She'll still think, they'll think she's still in Arusa, and they'll sign on the get even after he's married to her. Next part of the Gemara. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Avar Bar Shila, Amar Rav Hamnuna Sava, Amar Rav Adar Bar Av, Amar Rav Halacha K'Rav Elazar. The Halacha is like Rav Elazar. What does that mean? Halacha is like Rav Elazar. Halacha is like Rav Elazar that we're post-sale by Tosei Gitin. You cannot write the non-essential parts of the get because of Shema, you know, you might come to write the essential parts of the get, and it's a requirement of Lishma. That halacha is like Rabbi Lazar. Kari Rabbi Lei, the Rabbi Lazar, Tuvina de Chakimei. That he's the, Rabbi Lazar is the cream of the crop, the best of the Chachamim. Rashi says he's Me'ushar Shebechachamim, the richest of the Chachamim, meaning that he's a tremendous Tam Chacham. Vafilo, the Gemara wants to know, Vafilo Bishar Shtarot, Nami. Do we say the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar by Shar Shtarot? Meaning that all we said so far is the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar when it comes to Gitin, that you're not allowed to write Topse Gitin. Right, because you might, the non-essential part you can't write because you might write the essential part. What about the statement he made by Shtarot, that by Shtarot there's no problem? Zvahamar of Papi Mishmei de Rava. Didn't Rav Papi say in the name of Rava, Hai Asharta de Dine? So Asharta de Dine is basically the validation of the court of a document based on the testimony of either two Edom about the signatures or the signatories come and testify about their own signatures. The Michtava Mikame de Sade Sade. They come along, they write this document that says basically that these Edim came and testified to their signatures, and the document was written prior to the time that the Edim actually came to testify. Achitimat yadayo psula. Right, came to the side and said, before they came and testified about their signatures, it's psula. Why? Amay mechse kishikra. Because it looks like sheker. It looks like they're lying. They write the document, and then only afterwards did the Edom show up, and then they testify about it. So how could it be? So that's Mechzei Kashikra. So what do you see from this? You see from this, Hachanami by Shtaros, regular Shtaros will say the same thing, Mechzei Kashikra. Will say it looks like Shikra, even though technically it's no problem to write the Tofes or to write the Torif of the Shtar. Nevertheless, we're not going to let you do it because it's Mechzei Kashikra. It looks like you're lying. So Gemara says, Veleta. And that's not the case. The letter, mid Rav Nachman, because of Rav Nachman. Now, you could read, there's an alternate Gersa, which we don't have in our Gemara, but some Gemara say, the letter the Rav Papi. That Rav Papi doesn't exist. The whole din of Rav Papi doesn't exist. And then the Gemara continues. The Gersa that we have is the letter, that it's not the case. I mean, that Rav Papi's din stands, the letter, but it does not apply by other shtarot. And why is that? Mid Rav Nachman. Dav Rav Nachman, Omer Hai Rabbi Meua, Filu Matzoba Ashpa. The mayor says, even if you find it in the garbage, it can be a good get. If they sign on the get and give it to her, that's lishma, that'll be fine. And even the rabbanan don't argue with Meir, but gitei noshim, when it comes to gitei noshim, to be in a ketiva lishma, because there you require ketiva lishma. Aval b'shtar shtarot, they would agree to Rabbi Meir that it's a valid shtar, because there's no requirement of lishma, so there you can be pre-written. Can be pre-written. That's against what Rav Papi says over here. That it mechzeke shikra. Damar Rav Asiyam Rav Yochanan shtar shalava bo, a star that you used to lend once uparo, and then it was repaid. Eino chozer velove bo. You cannot use this document again. Say it's on the same day. Stated for the same day. He borrowed money with this document in the beginning of the day, and then he paid it back right away. And then he wants to borrow money again with the same document. Why can't you do this? Shkavar nimchal shibudo. Because the shibud, right, the encumbrance that's established by the shtar, is already been nimchal, has been wiped out by the repayment of the debt. So taima de nimchal shibudo. What's the problem of reusing the document? Reusing of the document, the problem is the nimchal shibudo. Had it not been from that, then we would allow you to use a pre-written shtar. Aval mishum shikra lo chayshina. We don't worry about sheker. Now the advantage of saying the way we have our gears and our gemara is veleta means that Rav Papi's din stands. Rav Papi's din stands that in a court setting, one cannot pre-write the document. This is what Tosfos says. Because there it's really Mechzei Kishikra. Because there you're trying to validate a shtar. When it comes to validation of a shtar, we don't want you doing this pre-validating the shtar before it actually happens. That looks like shikra. Also, I would say even in a court context, when you're in the court, we want everything to be done, kedat v'din. We don't want anything to be pre-written in the court, because there we worry much more about due process and mechzei kashikra. When it comes to regular shtarot, if you have form contracts that you use, that's fine, right, as long as the form contract lays out all the issues that need to be laid out and it has the right date on it, you can use a form contract. So this could, but there's another girsa that says Veleta the Rav Papi that says Rav Papi's din is not true. Tosu says our girsa just says Veleta means that Rav Papi's din stands, we just don't apply it to shtarot. It makes a differentiation. Tosus makes a differentiation that you're suggesting, Shoal, which is what we just said, that there's a difference between there where you're trying to validate a get and you're pre-writing the validation. That makes no sense because it's Mechzei Kashikra. That really looks like Shikra. And I added on that possibility that in the context of a court, it might be even more so. We're more stringent in general of making sure that due process and that everything looks Kedat V'din, right, above and beyond what's normal. Now, Tosfos, pointed out, Tosfos on the Mishnah mentions that when Rav Elazar says that by Shtarot, you don't have to leave out the Tofes, you could even write the Tofes, right? That's what I said. Rashi says in the Mishnah, you have to leave out, even by, when Rav Elazar says, by Gitei Noshim, it's possible, that's because you can't write the Toref, and you have to leave out the Tofes. But by regular Shtarot, you still have to leave out this, the main point, the essential points. Tosfos says, no. By Shtaros, when Rav Elazar says it's kosher by Shar Shtaros, he says it means that you can write everything. And his proof is from this Gemara right here. Because when the Gemara says, Veleta the Rav Papi, right, when he says Veleta the Rav Papi, he means what? That we hold by Shar Shtaros, you can write the whole thing out. And by the whole thing being written out, that's what the position of Rav Elazar is. And so Tosfos says, based on this, I can prove to you that in our Mishnah, when Rav Elazar says Shtaros are kosher, that means you can write everything. Not only the Tofes, but even the Toref of the Shtaros. All right, well, we'll stop here.